Welcome to Zichud Daf Siman. I'm Rabbi Avram Goldar, and today we're Mesechus Yevamos Daf Ein Tes, the eighth parak Ha'aral. So the three dafs we're going to focus on. Number one, the Gemara continues with the background to David's decree to prohibit Nisinim from marrying into the Kahal. In terms of addressing the two causes for the famine, David reasoned that since 12 months had passed after Shaul's death, it was no longer fit to eulogize him. Rashi clarifies that although close to 30 years had passed, David was referencing the halakha that after 12 months, it's no longer appropriate to eulogize him. He then went to the Givonim to see if he could appease them, and they responded that they wanted David to give them 7 of Shaul's sons to hang. David sought an alternative way to appease them, but they would not be appeased. David said, Shosha simanim yesh b'umazo. There are 3 simanim of this nation, referring to Bnei Israel. Harachamanim, b'yibashanim, b'gomoy chasadim. They're merciful, bashful, and do acts of kindness. Kosh yesh bo shosha simanim halulu, ru'i lehidabek b'umazo. Whoever is these 3 simanim is worthy to cleave to this nation through marriage. Rashi explains that since the Givonim lacked rachamim, David decreed that they may not marry Jews. David did end up appeasing them through the hanging of 7 of Shaul's sons. Pointing to the Gemara questions whether it was David who decreed upon marrying the Nesim, as it seems that Moshe was the one who decreed upon them, for the pasuk states, Mechot tebeitzecha ad shoiv meimecha, from the choppers of your wood to the drawers of your water. Rashi explains that since the Nesim are not included in the term men of Yisrael, or by convert in the pasuk, it must be that there are a separate group of slaves that are not permitted to marry Jews. The Gemara answers that Moshe only decreed for that generation. The Gemara persists and says that Yehoshua decreed against him, for the pasuk states, V'yitnem Yehoshua b'yomohu chotvei etzim v'shol v'imayim la'eda u'mizbach Hashem. And Yehoshua designated them on that day as woodchoppers and water drawers for the assembly and for the mizbeach of Hashem. The Gemara answers that Yehoshua decreed upon them during the time of the Beis HaMikdash, whereas David decreed upon them even when the Beis HaMikdash no longer stands. And point number 3, in the next Mishnah, Rabbi Kiva explained that a Sris Adam performs Chalitza and has Chalitza performed for his wife, Bifnesha Haizlo Shasa Kosha, because he had a period of suitability. The Gemara asks why Rabbi Kiva maintains that a period of suitability is sufficient. For the Pasuk states, L'hakim L'achim Shem, to establish a name for his brother, and a Sris Adam, even though he was once suitable, is no longer fit for this. Rava replied that if having only a period of suitability does not create a need for chalitza, eino chayishin shekasher liyavim. You'll never have a woman that is fit for yibum. She'll not sabal a sris chama she'acha is kodim l'nisaso. But there's no widow whose husband did not become a sris chama for one moment prior to his death. The Gemara answers, hasam kichishusa dechilabe. There, it's merely a weakness that has begun for him, not actual sterility. So once again, the 3 points are number 1. The Gemara continues with the background to David's decree to prohibit Nesinim from marrying into the Kahal. In terms of addressing the 2 causes for the famine, David reasoned that since 12 months had passed after Shaul's death, it was no longer fit to eulogize him. Rashi clarifies that although close to 30 years had passed, David was referencing the halakha that after 12 months, it's no longer appropriate to eulogize him. He then went to the Givonim to see if he could appease them, and they responded that they wanted David to give them 7 of Shaul's sons to hang. David sought an alternative way to appease them, but they would not be appeased. David said, Shosha simanim yesh b'umazo. There are 3 simanim of this nation, referring to Bnei Israel. Harachamanim, b'yibashanim, b'gomoy chasadim. They're merciful, bashful, and do acts of kindness. Kosh yesh bo shosha simanim halulu, ru'i lehidabek b'umazo. Whoever is these 3 simanim is worthy to cleave to this nation through marriage. Rashi explains that since the Givonim lacked rachamim, David decreed that they may not marry Jews. David did end up appeasing them through the hanging of 7 of Shaul's sons. Pointing to the Gemara questions whether it was David who decreed upon marrying the Nesim, as it seems that Moshe was the one who decreed upon them, for the pasuk states, Mechot tebeitzecha ad shoiv meimecha, from the choppers of your wood to the drawers of your water. Rashi explains that since the Nesim are not included in the term men of Yisrael, or by convert in the pasuk, it must be that there are a separate group of slaves that are not permitted to marry Jews. The Gemara answers that Moshe only decreed for that generation. The Gemara persists and says that Yehoshua decreed against him, for the pasuk states, V'yitnem Yehoshua b'yomohu chotvei etzim v'shol v'imayim la'eda u'mizbach Hashem. And Yehoshua designated them on that day as woodchoppers and water drawers for the assembly and for the mizbeach of Hashem. The Gemara answers that Yehoshua decreed upon them during the time of the Beis HaMikdash, whereas David decreed upon them even when the Beis HaMikdash no longer stands. And pointing with me, in the next Mishnah, Rabbi Kiva explained that a Sris Adam performs Chalitza and has Chalitza performed for his wife, Bifnesha Haizlo Shasa Kosha, because he had a period of suitability. The Gemara asks why Rabbi Kiva maintains that a period of suitability is sufficient. For the Pasuk states, L'hakim L'achim Shem, to establish a name for his brother, and a Sris Adam, even though he was once suitable, is no longer fit for this. Rava replied that if having only a period of suitability does not create a need for chalitza, eino chayishin shekasher liyavim. You'll never have a woman that is fit for yibum. She'll not sabal a suiz chama, she'll acha is kodum nisaso. But there's no widow whose husband did not become a suiz chama for one moment prior to his death. The Gemara answers, hasam ki chishusa dechilabe. There, it's merely a weakness that has begun for him, not actual sterility. All right, so now we go to our siman daf ayin tes, and our standard siman is a pen, and we often use a scribe with a quill. So here goes. The angry scribe who lacked the merciful, bashful, and kind traits of a Jew, and threw his quills at 7 hanging corpses, had torn up multiple decrees that were made against his people, when he overheard someone call his father a suiz chama moments before his death. Once again, it's emotion. The angry scribe, that must be more daf ayin tes. The angry scribe who lacked the merciful, bashful, and kind traits of a Jew, and threw his quills at 7 hanging corpses, which reminds us, the Gemara explains that David decreed against the Nisim when he sought to appease them, and they said they wanted him to give them 7 of Shaul's sons to hang. David sought an alternative way to appease them, but they would not be appeased. David said, Shosh simanim yesh b'umazo, there are 3 simanim of this nation, referring to Bnei Yisrael, harachamanim, baishanim, v'gomle chasadim. With a merciful, bashful, and do acts of kindness, whoever has these 3 simanim is worthy to cleave to this nation through marriage. Rashi explains that since the Givonim lacked rachamim, David decreed that they may not marry Jews. So the angry scribe who lacked the merciful, bashful, and kind traits of a Jew, and threw his quills at 7 hanging corpses, had torn up multiple decrees that were made against his people, which reminds us, there were multiple decrees against the Nisim. Moshe decreed for that generation, Yeshua decreed while the temple stood, and David decreed against him for even after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. So the angry scribe who lacked the merciful, bashful, and kind traits of a Jew, and threw his quills at 7 hanging corpses, had torn up multiple decrees that were made against his people, when he overheard someone call his father a suiz chama moments before his death, which reminds us, Rava said that if only having a shasa kosher, a period of suitability, does not create a need for chalitza, eino chayisha shekasher liyavim, you'll never have a woman that is fit for yibum. For there's no widow whose husband did not become a suiz chama for one moment prior to his death. The Gemara answers that there it's merely a weakness that has begun for him, not actual sterility. So once again, the angry scribe who lacked the merciful, bashful, and kind traits of a Jew, and threw his quills at 7 hanging corpses, had torn up multiple decrees that were made against his people, when he overheard someone call his father a suiz chama moments before his death. All right, now it's time for 4 Balabak Hazara. Daf Ayin Hei. So the Simmer Daf Ayin Hei is an Amma Aretz. So here goes. The Amma Aretz, that must be more in Daf Ayin Hei. The Amma Aretz who arrived at the hospital just after sunset, when Tami Kohanim, who had tumbled earlier, were now eating their truma, which reminds us, Gemara asks, why 3 psukim are needed regarding the purification to eat truma, and answers that all 3 are required to teach that there must be a tefillah, the person must wait until Arav Shemesh, until the sun sets, and then he can be a bar kapara and still eat after the sun sets and doesn't need to wait until he brings a carbon. So the Amma Aretz who arrived at the hospital just after sunset, when Tami Kohanim, who had tumbled earlier, were now eating their truma, passed through the ward filled with different types of Betsui Daka, which reminds us, the Gemara lists what conditions qualify someone as a Betsui Daka. So the Amma Aretz who arrived at the hospital just after sunset, when Tami Kohanim, who had tumbled earlier, were now eating their truma, passed through the ward filled with different types of Betsui Daka, and was so proud he brought a box of tissues for his friend, who was a Krushavcha, to help wipe the mucus spilling from his nose. Which reminds us, the Gemara asks, from where is it known that a kru shavcha, someone with a severed shavcha, refers to the male organ, and answers that the pasuk says kru shavcha, which indicates misha al yidei krisa shofech, that it refers to an organ that spills as a result of the severing, whereas prior to severing it was not spilling but was mekaleach, it was spouting. This excludes the nose, where both before and after the severing it spills its mucus. Ein Vav, so the Simmer Daf Ein Vav is an IV tube, an intravenous tube. So here goes. The Betsui Daka Kohen who married the Gior's nurse, who always hooked up his IV, that must be Ein Daf Ein Vav, intravenous tube. The Betsui Daka Kohen who married the Gior's nurse, who always hooked up his IV, which reminds us, Rosh Hashanah was asked, Betsui Daka Kohen, Mahu B'Gior's Meshuchereres. Regarding a Betsui Daka Kohen, what is the law regarding marrying a Gior's or Meshuchereres? Do we say that he remains in his kahuna level of Kedusha and is forbidden to her, or does he not remain in that level and is permitted to her? He answered that if Betsui Daka Yisrael is permitted to marry a Nesina, then a Betsui Daka Kohen does not remain in his level of Kedusha and may marry a Gior's or a freed slave woman. So the Matsua Dr. Cohen, who married the Gioris, a nurse, who always hooked up his IV, hallucinated that he had a son named Paris, dressed up in oversized battle armor. Which reminds us, when David went out to fight Goliath, Shaul wanted to know if David descended from Paris or Zerach. If he descends from Paris, he will be a king. Shalmelch Poretz Lasos Derech, for a king may break through Poretz, other people's fences, to make a path for himself, and no one can protest against him. If he descends from Zerach, Hashiva ba'almahavi, he will be merely Chashuv. The reason Shaul asks about him is that Shaul saw that when he gave David his battle garments, they fit David, even though Shaul was taller than everyone. Since his garments fit David miraculously, Shaul asked if he was destined for Malchus. So the Matsua Daka Cohen, who married the Gioris nurse, who always hooked up his IV, hallucinated that he had a son named Peretz, dressed up in oversized battle armor, who'd go out and greet travelers with bread and water. Which reminds us, the Gemara relates that Doaka Adomi said to Shaul, before he asked whether David is fit for Malchus or not, ask whether he's fit to marry into the Kahal, because he comes from Rus, who was a Moabi. When Avner responded that it was taught Amoni v'lo Amonis, Moabi v'lo Moabis, the Torah only prohibits the males and not the females of Amon and Moab, Doaka countered that when the Pasuk says Mamzer, does it not refer to a Mamzeris as well? And the Pasuk says Mitzri, does it not also refer to a Mitzris? Avner responded that it is different in the case of an Ammoni and Moabi, since the Torah explicitly said the reason is because they did not greet you with bread and water on the road when you were leaving Mitzrayim. It's the way for men to greet travelers with bread and water, but not for women to do so. Doeg continues to challenge Avner, and on the next daf, the issue is resolved. Daf Ein Zayin. So the Simmer Daf Ein Zayin is a goat. So here goes. The man whose sword was tied to his goat's back. Goat? That must be more in Daf Ein Zayin. A's. The man whose sword was tied to his goat's back, to be used against those who did not accept his halachic tradition, which reminds us, continuing with the account of Doeg's challenges to David's yichus, the Gemara reconciles contradictory psukim wherein one pasuk, Amasa, was married to David's sister, is referred to as the son of Yisrael HaYisraeli, and another pasuk, his father, is referred to as Yeser HaYishmaeli. Rav explained that when Doeg wanted to disqualify David, Shechiger Charbo ki Yishmael, that Yeser girded his sword ki Yishmaeli, and said, Kol mi she'enu shomei halacha zo yedakar becherev, whoever does not accept the halacha shall be impaled by the sword, for I have received a tradition from the Beis Hamishmul that the Torah prohibits Amoni velo Amonis, Moavi velo Moavis, and therefore David is permitted to marry into the Kahal. So the man whose sword was tied to his goat's back to be used against those who did not accept his halachic tradition decided to use it to cut two Moavi and Amoni yoke straps off the goat's neck. Which reminds us, Rav expanded, what's the meaning of that which is written, Pataktu Moserai, you've released my yoke straps. David said to Kadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, Shnei Moserai Shehayu Alai Pitaktem, the two straps were upon me, you have released, Rus HaMoaviah and Naama HaAmonis. Naama was the wife of David's son Shlomo and the mother of his grandson Rechavam. Therefore, there were two yoke straps who were potentially harmful to the yichus of David's malchus, Rus from Moab and Naama from Ammon. Now that the halach has been resolved, permitting female converts from these nations to marry into the Kahal, HaKadosh Baruch Hu released David from these yoke straps. So the man whose sword was tied to his goat's back to be used against those who did not accept his halachic tradition decided to use it to cut two Moavi and Ammoni yoke straps off the goat's neck and give the goat as a gift to the daughter of an Ammoni ger and a Yisraelis who was about to marry a Kohen. Which reminds us, we have Malchus, Reyochan, Reish Lakish, whether the daughter of an Ammoni ger and a Yisraelis is fit for the kahuna. Daf Ein Ches. So the Simmer Daf Ein Ches is a child going ugh. So here goes. The third generation son of Mitzri Gerim, who went ugh, child going ugh, that must be more on Daf Ein Ches. The third generation son of Mitzri Gerim, who went ugh, that it took so long for him to be permitted into the Kahal, which reminds us, the pasuk regarding Mitzri and Edomi convert states, Vanimashi Yavaldu Lehem, Dor Shlishi Yavu Lehem, B'Kahal Hashem. Sons who are born to them in the third generation may enter into the Kahal of Hashem. A brisa questions, if sons are mentioned, why are generations mentioned, and vice versa? And answers, if sons were stated and generations were not stated, I would have said, Ben Rishon Mesheni Aser Shlishi Mutter, that the first and second son are Aser, but the third son is Mutter. Therefore, the Pasuk says, Doros, generations, and if generations were stated and sons were not stated, I would have said, Osana Omdi Mal Har Sinai. The Torah is referring to those standing at Har Sinai. So the third generation son of Mitzri Gerim, who went Ugh, that took so long for him to be permitted into the Kahal, was jealous of the fetus of the pregnant Gentile woman, who converted since it didn't even require its own tevila, which reminds us that if Rabbi Yochan does not say Uber Ki Yerach Imo, that a fetus is considered like the thigh of its mother, how does it sit with Rava, who said, Nachus Mu'berish Nisgaira Bana Ein Sarach Tevila? If a pregnant Gentile woman converted, her child does not require immersion. The child is not considered the thigh of its mother, but rather it's a separate entity. Why does the child not require its own tevila? So the third generation son of Mitzri Gerim, who went, ugh, that it took so long for him to be permitted into the Kahal, was jealous of the fetus of the pregnant Gentile woman, who converted since it didn't even require its own tevila, and went, ugh, again when the famine in the land entered its third year. Which reminds us, the Gemara relates David's efforts to determine what was the cause of a famine that ended up lasting 3 years. Eventually asked the Urim and Tumim, and Hashem replied that the famine is for Shaul in that they did not eulogize Shaul properly, and also for Shaul's sin that he killed the Givonim. The Gemara clarifies that since Shaul massacred the inhabitants of Nov, the city of Kohanim, who supplied the Givonim with water and food, the Pasuk regards it as though Shaul killed them. All right, so that concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avram Goldman Zichu wishing a great day and great learning.